You're listening to Illinois Edition on NPR Illinois. I'm Rachel Otwell.
My name is Marvin Lindsay, and I am the CEO of the Community Behavioral Healthcare Association of Illinois. We are a trade association of mental health and substance abuse providers. We provide mental health and substance abuse services across Illinois. We're a membership organization, and our membership consists of providers who provide child and adolescent services, adult services in both rural and urban communities. For like addiction services, we might provide residential services or detox services. Right now, we have a heroin crisis, a heroin epidemic in Illinois. And a lot of people who seek services are in need of detox services. So some of our members provide that. We also have outpatient services that people might have therapy or group therapies in trying to address their addictions. And then some of our members, like I said, provide mental health services.
And so you wrote an open letter to Governor Rauner about a week ago now. Tell us what the inspiration was for doing that and why now.
Well, this is not the first letter. This is the second or third letter to the governor and probably an equal amount to legislators. Over the last 11 and a half months, like I stated in that letter, our system has been crippled. We have witnessed the closing of programs almost on a monthly, now weekly basis. We've seen waiting lists increase as far as people being able to access services. And we're at a point where without a budget, more programs, more services will be shut down.
And in the letter, you throw out some numbers as far as the impact of the budget impasse. And you write that 76% of community mental health and substance use treatment and prevention providers have been forced to shut down programs or reduce services, and the same amount, 76% of individuals seeking to see a psychiatrist have wait times ranging from 2 to 4 months, and then another 24% have to wait 4 to 6 months. So for the providers who are still able to keep the doors open for now, how have they been able to manage?
Well, you have really, you had some of them that have had to shut down services in order to and lay off staff. So they have really shrunk the programs and staff within their agency. Another way that they have been able to stay afloat is they have taken out loans or lines of credit. The few that have had some reserves have tapped those reserves and have used most or all of those reserves over this year. I have not met anyone who is still using reserves. What is happening now is more and more I'm getting calls that matter of fact, this week I received two calls where an agency is shutting down programs because they can't get any more lines of credit. I have one program, one agency who have enough money to last to July, the middle of July. And without any state budget or stopgap measure being passed today or soon, they will probably have to lay off a good number of their staff and shut down some mental health housing. So they have 160 people in mental health housing who they will have to make a decision on where do they send these people.
What is the ideal here? Even if the money was to be restored for the coming fiscal year, is that a cure-all for behavioral health care providers across the state?
It's not a cure-all, but it will help. I mean, the behavioral health care system over the last 5 years have been cut to about $144 million. So it's been a lot of money and taken out of the system before this budget impasse. This budget impasse just exaggerates it. The system cannot stand too much more. You know, people are dying. I mean, we're talking about this budget impasse is not just affecting that person seeking treatment. Say if a person is living in a household with somebody with a condition, a behavioral health care condition, that have kids. Well, those kids are going to be impacted.
So obviously the numbers are alarming. And then one thing that you write that really sticks out is, and quoting here, it says, regarding the waiting list, many of these individuals usually end up in more expensive emergency rooms, hospital inpatient facilities, jails, or even dead. Tell us about that.
I received information from a substance abuse provider who informed me that they had a mother who had placed her son on a list to be to receive treatment in a substance abuse residential program. About a month later, after he was not able to get into treatment, she called back and stated that the agency could take her son off the list because he had OD'd and died.
And so obviously you claim here that lives are at stake, and you claim as well that the state will end up paying more money for people who aren't able to get these services because they'll either wind up in hospitals or in jails. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and it is happening now. I mean, the Illinois Hospital Association put out a recent survey that results of their membership hospitals across the state, and they showed a 24% increase in emergency room visits for people with behavioral health care problems over the last year since the budget impasse. So that is costly. I have talked with the executive director of the Illinois Sheriff's Association just about the impact the budget is having on local sheriffs across the state. He informed me that sheriffs are almost having to place social workers in some counties, and that right now, at least when I talked to him a couple months ago, and it has gotten probably worse since then, mental health and substance abuse is probably the sheriff's number one and number two problems right now. So it's costing not only the state, it's costing families, it's costing law enforcement, it's costing jails. It's costing everybody. There's no good that's going to come out of this.